Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time to talk a little bit of Browns, because you all know that Browns training camp starts in 2 days, 22 hours, 56 minutes, and 10, 9, 8 seconds.
Nice.
And to help us get geeked up for training camp, we turn to our good friend Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram, and he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Scotty, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're pumped, man. We're ready for camp to start. We get to see you every day live, which I think is as good as watching OBJ. I'll be honest.
Well, that's why I'm most pumped about camp. I get to see Scott.
Just because we get to hang out with you.
Nice, fellas.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so beyond the fact that we get to see each other, I'm just looking through some of your stories that are going on at the Chronicle-Telegram. What challenges are there now to face new head coach Freddie Kitchens?
Yeah, to me, that's one of the biggest things we have to watch this season, you know? And I think he's handled things well to this point, but it's only going to get more tough for Freddie, right? He's got to set a tone when these guys show up. He's got to deal with all the little things that pop up, or the big things that pop up, right? The Duke-Baker relationship, how OBJ is handling the transition. And what if they start the season 1-3? What if they lose the opener? He knows adversity is going to strike, and we just don't know how Freddie is going to handle everything that goes with being a first-time head coach. Challenges, right? Replay reviews. You got the new interference stuff. All these things are new for him. On top of, he still plans on calling plays. So I think there's a lot on Freddie's plate, and how this season goes will largely be determined by how Freddie handles the job in year one and how Baker handles his job in year two.
Scott, are expectations out of whack? I saw an ESPN story. They had their three insiders, Kevin Seifert, Dan Graziano, Mike Clay, talk about the most improved teams. They had the number one most improved team in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns.
Well, see, when you look at it like that, I would say that that's a little off, because I think they were most improved from 17 to 18, right? They went from 0-16 to 7-8-1.
Yeah.
And there's no way they make another 7.5-game jump. So I think those are unfair expectations. I think when you list the Browns among Super Bowl favorites from the odds makers, that seems premature to me and a little unfair. And I think the coverage will be over the top. And that's, none of this is the Browns' fault, right?
Yeah.
I mean, John Dorsey's just putting the best roster together that he can. I think fair expectations are they should compete to win the AFC North. And I think from a pure talent perspective, they are my favorite to win the AFC North. So, you know, if your expectations are 9-7 or 10-6, I think that's right in line. If you're thinking they're going to go 13-3 or 12-4, and get a bye and go to the Super Bowl, to me, those are, I'm not saying completely unrealistic, but I think they're over the top for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs since 2002, as a first-time head coach, and was 1-31 just a year and two ago.
Graziano also wrote in their little summation, Scott, and I thought when I read this, you know, that hasn't been talked about too much. He said, don't underestimate the defensive line, where the Browns look as fearsome on paper as anyone. That's really true if you sit back and take a good look at it, because a couple of big additions with Vernon and Richardson going with Myles Garrett, you know, that could be a really potent group of defensive linemen.
There's no doubt about it. And Freddie Kitchens said he still thinks it's the strength of the roster, and that was even after they failed to sign Gerald McCoy in free agency. And I agree with him. I think it is. You know, a lot of attention gets paid to the receivers. And when you have OBJ and Jarvis Landry and Antonio Callaway, I get it. But I think the four across the defensive line, I love it. I think all four are Pro Bowl caliber players. You know, Ogunjobi, Garrett, Vernon, and Sheldon Richardson. Three of the four have been to Pro Bowls. Ogunjobi's the only one who hasn't, and I really think his ceiling is through the roof. So I agree. I think it's a strength of the team. I have a little question about the depth. It's a D-tackle spot behind those first two guys. I don't think that's, you know, at the end of the world if because they didn't sign Gerald McCoy. And, you know, we know that Seven Coley has started in this league the last couple of years, so he's got experience. If you had one more inside guy to rush the passer like a Gerald McCoy, I think that would have been perfect. I don't think it's that big a deal. And I really love that front four, and I think it just goes to show you that John Dorsey has his priorities in line. And that means you have to pressure the quarterback and try to cover, right, on defense. You can ignore the line, in my opinion, you can ignore the linebackers a little bit, which John Dorsey's done to some degree. He drafted a couple guys, but not super high. But he spent a lot of resources on the front four and in the back end, and I think that's what you have to do when you're a GM.
Scott Petrak for the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com is where you can find all of his stuff online. Scott, I love your story about the five things you're going to watch, not because it's five things you're going to watch, one, two, three, four, five, but the way you organized the story I thought was really cool. And my favorite headline in there is three rings before a ring. Explain that to folks.
Yeah, I just think when we're looking, you know, I'm going to have battles, position battles to watch today and then five players to watch coming up the day after. But I wanted to start with storylines, and it's other stuff besides exactly what we're going to see on the field. And one of those to me is the circus that will be in town starting this week. You know, ESPN and all the national media, we saw glimpses of it in minicamp when OBJ was going to talk. I mean, cameras were 3-4 deep. And I don't think there was this much coverage for Johnny Manziel, right? And he was a huge story and a huge personality, a huge celebrity. And I just think stuff has been magnified with Baker and with OBJ and with the expectations, all of it. So, you know, I think we're going to have a circus, and the Browns as a team and as a young team with a bunch of young guys on this roster and a bunch of the biggest name guys are young, are going to have to be able to handle that. And they're not going to be able to win 10 games, and they're not going to be able to make a run at the Super Bowl if they get distracted by just everything that surrounds the team. And that's the expectations, and that's the hype, and that's the media coverage. And that's another area that Freddie Kitchens has to have control of this team and kind of tamp things down. And I know he's tried to temper expectations, and I get that, and I think that's the right move, because you can't let it get out of control 6 weeks before the season even starts.
Scott Petrak joining us. You can read all of his work at brownzone.com. Covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. Is there one thing when you look at this roster where you're really uncomfortable, Scott, as you head into training camp?
And I don't know if I'm really uncomfortable. I have questions, right? I have questions at the kicker spot. Is either of those guys the right guy, Greg Joseph and rookie Austin Seibert? Are they just going to hand the job to Seibert? But even if he doesn't earn it, you know, if he doesn't win the competition in training camp, yeah, get the job because he was a draft pick, I hope not. I have questions about the depth at running back. You know, if they trade Duke Johnson, which we all know is a possibility, we know that Duke wants to be traded, then I have serious questions about the depth at running back, especially because I am not completely comfortable with the idea that Kareem Hunt's going to be eligible week 10. I know the Browns, we've talked about this before, I know the Browns keep saying he's doing all the right things, but there was the incident in the flats on Westbrook. And I just don't know if you can count on a guy that's currently going to start the season under suspension. If you guarantee that he's going to come back week 10, I don't know if you can count on that. And if you can't, how do you trade Duke Johnson and leave yourself, in my opinion, thin with Nick Chubb and then a big drop off to Dontrell Hilliard? So it's more of my concerns are more of depth concerns across the roster, but those are the key ones, especially running back. You know, I mentioned linebacker a little bit. They got two rookies. They got two veterans. I think they'll be fine there. And then I think backup left tackle, right? Greg Robinson did great in the final eight games last year. The Browns only let up five sacks as a team in those final eight games, which led the league. However, we know that Greg Robinson has been a disappointment after being the number two overall pick. He's on a prove-it deal. What if he struggles? What if he reverts back to that form of his first few years in the league? There's not a guy that you say automatically can step up and be that backup left tackle, and I think that's a spot that John Dorsey will continue to monitor throughout camp. See who gets cut, see if there's any veterans that flash across free agency. Because I just think that's an area where you have to watch, because that's how the season goes south, right? If Baker gets hurt or you can't protect Baker, all of a sudden it doesn't matter if OBJ is open because you can't get the ball to him.
Scott, how much do you expect the big-name guys to be playing in these preseason games? I'll be honest with you, Garrett Gilbert could start all four games and I would be happy. I could see Derek Willis and Garrett Gilbert hook up on touchdowns left and right with Blake Jackson playing the other wide receiver spot. I don't need to see any of our starters, except for the fact that you want to get them a little bit of rhythm. But I have no desire to watch any of them play in preseason.
I think this is a really interesting question, because in the offseason, everybody likes to have that opinion. And then once you kind of get closer to the preseason, I think people are like, oh, we want to see Baker. You know, what about week one? You need to have some continuity and you need to have some reps in. And I think with the young team, there's some validity to those points. So, I was going back and I was looking through some of the transcripts of the minicamp interviews. Well, Freddie Kitchens got asked a question about playing time in the preseason. And he said, well, you guys saw Hard Knocks last year, which would indicate that he's going to play these guys. And I think it's interesting he said that. I also think he can have a change of heart. I don't think OBJ is going to play hardly at all. I do think Baker will get some reps, because I think Baker wants to play and he's only in his second year. But as a unit, I'm not sure you'll see all 11 starters on offense. I'm not sure you'll see them take one snap. And most of that is because I think OBJ, I just don't think you play him a bunch, because he knows what he's doing and you got to make sure he gets to week one healthy.
Scotty, I can't wait to see you later this week when we are out at training camp. And, of course, we'll read you Brown Zone all the time and get the latest information from you. So, thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
All right. We'll see you Thursday. Scott Petrak, make sure you read him every day. BrownZone.net, of course, Chronicle Telegram. And he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.